Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." A second reading is from the book of Titus, which is a bit further on in the New Testament, Titus chapter 3. So when you get to Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, chapter 3. Starting at verse 3. "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone."
Happy New Year, everyone. It's a fantastic day to be at church this morning. Kids, you've done really well so far, but I've got a few things for you. So Sonia's going to, oh, and my kids as well, they're going to help hand out a few kind of colouring in worksheet type things. There's two of them, so there's one for little, smaller kids, and there's one for the older kids. On the older kids one, there's a sheet where I've got kind of four rectangles, and I want you guys to be listening out, so at different points during my talk, I'm keen for you to kind of fill in those things. So, yeah, put your hand up if you haven't got one already, and Sonia will come round. Dennis wants one. Great. How good is this time of year, right? We've just had Christmas. Christmas, think about the food. It's holidays. It's presents. There's family and friends. On the topic of Christmas, actually, that's the first. So the first box for the kids, I'm keen for you kids to either draw or write about the best Christmas present that you got this year, okay? So write or draw about that in the first little box. And once you've completed all these boxes, you might want to see me at morning tea, and I might have a kind of little prize for you as well. For Christmas, my favourite present would have been an autobiography of my favourite cyclist, Cadel Evans, so I'm really looking forward to reading up on that. So we've just had Christmas. This time of year as well, it's the holidays, the sun's out, maybe a bit more than we'd kind of like it to be. It's a perfect time to get on the road, isn't it, and just take off to your favourite holiday destination. Thanks. It's good that you're not there right now, you're in church. But generally, how good is that? On the open road, doing that road trip. So on the topic of holidays, kids, as you're getting those worksheets, in the second box, why don't you write, again, write or draw about your favourite holiday. Okay, so I'm keen to hear about that. That can go in the second box. Summertime in Australia, how good is it? There's so many places to go, things to do, people to see. But it's not just holidays, is it? Think about your life. We get so much choice, don't we? We've got so much freedom about when, how, and what we do with our lives. So for lunch, I could choose to make myself a sandwich if I really want to. I could choose to go down the takeaway and get some chicken and chips. That's a bit of a regular for our family on a Sunday. I could even go and have a bowl of cereal for lunch if I really wanted. There's so many options for us out there for us to do as we please with our lives. So in regards to what you do about your life, could choose to be a plumber, could choose to be a teacher, could choose to be a salesman, whole bunch of things. And some of this stuff we take for granted because the reality is these luxuries aren't afforded to most people around the world. Now, my parents, they immigrated to Australia back in the 70s. And something that stood out about my mum was just how grateful and thankful she was for being in a place like Australia. Having all those opportunities that we spoke about already and so much more. I think as a whole, the immigrants that I've spoken to, they're much more appreciative of living in a place like Australia because they've known what it's like to not have all those luxuries. Our country, it really is the place of golden soil and wealth for toil. I mean, look around. Our lands really do abound in nature's gifts, and that's especially true of the Central Coast. Australia is a country where if you're willing to put in a bit of effort, then you can really have a red-hot crack at life. Life is really what you make it. It's a principle that we experience, and it's likewise an observation made by the Bible writers. If you've got your handouts there, I'm going to be referring to a few verses. So there's a couple of verses in Proverbs which kind of echo this point that life is what you make it. So the first one, Proverbs 11, a wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. And then Proverbs 22, verse 8, whoever sows injustice reaps calamity, and the rod they wield in fury will be broken. You do good and you'll gain rewards. You do evil and evil will come back upon you. It's almost a form of karma, isn't it? And going by the number of posts that pop up on my Facebook feed, then it seems like it's a pretty popular philosophy to have on life. So here's one that I found. Think happy thoughts and put a smile on your face so that positive opportunities can find you. And another, believe you deserve it and the universe will serve it. And finally, one on the more negative end of things, the best revenge is always to just happily move on and let karma do the rest. Now, that's all good and fine, but life just isn't that simplistic, is it? Life isn't as simplistic as thinking good thoughts and allowing them to return to you. Life isn't as simplistic as moving on and letting karma do the rest. Life, as we know it, is much more complicated than that. In the Bible, isn't that the mistake of Job's friends when they evaluate his situation? So remember Job? Job was a character in the Bible. He was a righteous man. That's how he's described to us. And he was blessed with riches. He was blessed with friends and family. He had it all going for him when all of a sudden it was all taken away from him. Now, we as readers of the book of Job, we know that there's other things going on, especially on a more spiritual level between God and Satan. But Job and his friends, or his friends especially, they see only what's in front of them. And they jump to the wrong conclusions as a result. So again, on your outline there, there's Job chapter 4, verse 8. A good summary of the philosophy of his friends. This is what one of his friends says. As I've observed, those who plough evil and those who sow trouble reap it. At the breath of God, they perish. At the blast of his anger, they are no more. So Job's friends, they observe this rule. The righteous prosper and the wicked are condemned. Job was undergoing a whole bunch of pain and hurt and suffering. Therefore, Job must have done something evil. Seems a bit heartless, and it really is. But another thing that is, it's a really simplistic outlook on life. And it's one that God likewise condemns. At the end of the book of Job, this is what God has to say to Job's friends. So Job chapter 42, verse 7. After the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I'm angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. Job's friends were wrong to accuse Job of doing evil. They didn't have all the facts. They didn't have all the answers. God was the only one to have all the answers. God is the only one who's in control. Yes, in general, the rule does apply that if you do good, then good will result. If you do evil, then evil will result. But life and our world is much more complex than that. So life is what you make it, sort of. Sometimes. There's things that happen beyond our reasoning. We're not in control of everything. Only God is in control of everything. Now think about the man in the parable of Luke chapter 12, which was read out earlier. This man is described to us as being well off. He had lots of material blessings. And he thought to himself, I'm doing all right for myself here. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns that I have and I'll build bigger ones. That will really set me up for life. Once he did that, he could settle back and just enjoy the fruits of his labor. Would have been like it was holiday time all year round for him. Have a listen to what he says to himself in Luke chapter 12, verse 19. I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. That was his life's goal. Work hard, set yourself up, then sit back and reap the rewards. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. That was his philosophy on life. I wonder if that's your philosophy on life. But little did this man know that that very night, his life would be taken from him. So he had it all planned out, but God had other ideas. Ultimately, the man in the parable, he wasn't in control of his life as much as he thought. So he needed to understand that great proverb, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Life is what you make it until stuff happens outside of our control. All right, kids, for that third box, I'm keen to hear about you. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you felt frustrated or misunderstood. That wouldn't ever happen, would it? If you ever have felt frustrated or misunderstood, then in that third box, again, I want you to either draw about that or write about that situation, and you can show me a bit later. So we can plan and cater for contingencies all we like, but sometimes things just happen which are outside of our control. We get sick. Others, our loved ones, they get sick. Relationships break down. others hurt and harm us. We hurt and harm others. Big things like financial crises hit, natural disasters strike. Stuff happens and there's not a whole lot we can do about it. Stuff happens to us and it doesn't seem as though there's much, if any, correlation between the thing that's happening and the actions that we're undertaking. Life is what you make it, but we can't always control what life throws back at us. See, much like the man in the parable of Luke chapter 12, it would be arrogant of us to think that we can do as we want, live life as we want, live life to the full, when we're simply not in control of our whole lives. We can have a decent crack at life, make what we want of it, but sometimes in life we just get thrown those curveballs. A lot of the time, life is what you make it. Sometimes, life isn't what you make it. Now, it might sound a little odd, but I, for one, am actually pleased about that. Why? Well, most of the time, I don't get life right. All right, this is your fourth and last one, kids. In the fourth box, I'm keen for you to, again, write or draw about a time when you got something that you didn't deserve. Okay, that might take a bit of thinking, but something that you didn't deserve, write or draw about that in the fourth box. In life, I often mess things up for myself. Along with that, I mess things up for others. But most of all, I mess things up with God. And the Bible calls that messing up sin. In the Titus passage that was read out earlier, it speaks of us being enslaved to sin. So Titus chapter 3 verse 3. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. The Bible recognizes that all people are enslaved to sin. So not only are we not in control of our own lives, the reality is that sin has a control of us. We want to make something of our lives, but sin is there binding us. We want to do good and help others, but we're bound by our own selfishness. We want to actually please God, but instead we rob Him of His glory because we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. But all that changes when the love and kindness of God appears. So that's what verse 5 of Titus 3 says. God saves us not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of His mercy. See, God doesn't give us what we deserve for our rebellion, but instead grants cleansing and forgiveness to us in Jesus. I mean, how good is that? If God acted based on karma, then we'd all be stuffed. It's interesting, isn't it, that the negative aspect of karma, it often focuses on this idea of kind of payback and revenge. Thank God, literally, that He isn't like that. Instead of payback, God extends grace and mercy and forgiveness to all who put their trust in Him. Now, there's a really good quote from Bono, which I think sums up this idea pretty well. So Bono, obviously, he's the lead man for the rock band U2. This is what he has to say about it. It's a mind-blowing concept that the God who created the universe might be looking for company, a real relationship with people. But the thing that keeps me on my knees is the difference between grace and karma. Next slide. You see, at the center of all religions is the idea of karma. You know, what you put out comes back to you. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Or in physics, in physical laws, every action is met by an equal or opposite one. It's clear to me that karma is at the very heart of the universe. I'm absolutely sure of it. And yet, along comes this idea called grace to upend all that. As you reap, so you will sow stuff. Grace defies reason and logic. Love interrupts, if you like, the consequences of your actions, which in my case is very good news indeed, because I've done a lot of stupid stuff. And the last slide, that's between me and God, but I'd be in big trouble if karma was going to finally be my judge. I'd be in deep trouble. It doesn't excuse my mistakes, but I'm holding out for grace. I'm holding out that Jesus took my sins onto the cross because I know who I am, and I hope I don't have to depend on my own religiosity. If life is what you make it, then we're all in deep trouble. But how good is God? How good is He in His mercy and His grace, that He doesn't give us what we deserve, but instead lavishes love and mercy on us? God gives us an out, and He makes Himself that out by offering up His Son in our place. Jesus bore the judgment for sin so that we wouldn't have to. And I, like Bono, am holding out for grace. Now, if you're someone here today who is not yet a Christian, then I urge you to consider Christ. In Jesus, God has not given us what we deserve. We're unable to earn God's forgiveness because we're all enslaved to sin. The only way to win back that freedom is to rely on God's grace, to rely on His mercy. Look, I get it. You want to be in control of your life, want to do things your way, but sometimes that just isn't good enough. And when it comes to God, our efforts definitely aren't good enough. We're trapped and enslaved to sin, but God provides a way out for us, giving us true freedom to be the people that He truly made us to be. God has gifted us life and freedom and forgiveness. That is the Christian message. The question for you today is, will you accept that gift and put your trust in Jesus? Now, to the Christians amongst us, I mean, wow, we were enslaved to sin, and yet we've been freed from that slavery by the grace and mercy of God. The question for us today is, what will you do with your freedom? Titus chapter 3, it calls on all those who have trusted in God to devote themselves to doing good. And as a Christian living in Australia, think about all those opportunities that we have to do good, to glorify God, to bring Him the honour that's due Him. This coming year, how will you use your freedom and opportunities to glorify God? Now, at last count, there was an estimated 4,000 people groups around the world that still don't have access to the Bible in their mother tongue. I mean, we take it for granted, don't we, that we've got the Bible in English. This year, we're going to church, regularly sitting under God's Word. Will that be a priority for you this year? You've done pretty good. New Year's Day to get here to church, that's fantastic. But make it a priority. Don't let it just be one of a number of other things that you do. Prioritise church, make other things work around it. Will regular Bible reading, regular time with God in His Word, will it just be another one of those failed New Year's resolutions? Tim spoke about those daily Bible readings. Why not give them a go? I use them. They're actually pretty good. They're not like your typical Bible reading notes, which I've found to be a bit airy-fairy. There's actually a bit of meat and substance to these Lakes reading notes. Sign up, give them a go, do it with others and encourage others. Now, it's not just kind of Bible reading, going to church, that type of stuff. There's so many other ways that you could make your life worthy for God this year. So the man in the parable in Luke chapter 12, the one that stored up great wealth for himself, the reason his life was demanded from him that night, we're told, was because he was stingy towards God. this year, how will you be generous towards God? Now, not just with money, although that's a good thing, but with your whole life, with your time, your actions, the way you serve in church. There's so many opportunities this year to make God look great. Don't neglect those opportunities for the sake of making yourself look great instead. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for redeeming us from slavery to sin. Father, thanks that you don't give us what we deserve, but instead extend love and mercy and forgiveness to us in Jesus. Father, we pray for 2017, that this year we would all make wise choices for you. Father, help us all use the freedom and the opportunities that we have all for your glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.